First off, sorry about the long show today. We had so much to talk about. We introduce a new segment to the show, our seven best digital Bible study tools. We have Aaron Fry joining us, as well as Stephen Daly. All kinds of things related to how you can get the most out of God's Word and the digital tools that are available today. All coming up next on the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody. As usual, your host Martin Spriggs here for episode 221 for February 1st, 2012. This is the Wells Tech Podcast, where we try to figure out where ministry intersects technology or vice versa, however that works. And joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. We're kicking off a very unique month on the Wells Tech Podcast, a month of five podcasts in February. I don't think this will ever happen again.
How does that work? Yes, exactly.
Being a leap year and starting on a Wednesday and ending on a Wednesday makes it extra special.
And we got all kinds of interviews planned and special guest hosts. And in fact, this show is no different. We have a friend of the show on that we've invited, Pastor Aaron Fry. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron, where are you these days? Refresh our listeners, so to speak.
I am living in Saginaw, Michigan, after recently serving at Michigan Lutheran Seminary. I'm actually still a block from the school, just up the road on Court Street. As I've told your listeners in the past, I've served as a pastor in Minnesota and in Michigan and as a vicar in Wisconsin. So, you know, I've been around the Midwest. Only visited the coast, sorry, but only served around here.
Some of our Twitter followers will know you as the Exit Tweet.
Exit Tweet, yeah. I couldn't believe that name wasn't
available. Exactly. Timing is everything. Aaron, very happy to have you on the show. And we felt that it would be great to have you on because you've been on in the past to talk about Lugos and some of the things that can be done with it. And our show today is one of those new things we're doing in 2012, what we're calling the seven best. So each month we're picking a show. It's usually going to be the first show of the month where we put together a list. Lists are very popular on the internet these days. And our list is that perfect number, the number seven, the seven best of something. And we decided to start off our seven best series with the seven best digital Bible study tools. So it made sense to have Aaron on. And Sally and I put our heads together and, based on feedback from our listeners, put together a list of the what we feel are the seven best Bible study tools that you may want to consider in either your ministry or for personal growth or whatever. And you can disagree with us if you like, but the seven best are the seven best. And, you know, that I think part of the fun, Sally, is that this creates discussion, debate, and everybody wins as a result.
Yeah, I was really excited about the amount of listener feedback we got on this topic, Martin. Probably some of the best feedback we've ever gotten from Wells Tech. And we heard from a lot of new voices, names that we hadn't seen before in our listenership. And so welcome to all of you. And thank you very much for your feedback. We got stuff on Google+. We got it on Facebook. We got it via Twitter and also via the Wells Tech listserv. So exciting kickoff. We've got a brand new logo to include in our show notes. We are off and running with our seven best and looking forward to revealing this top list.
Okay. And we can't forget, once we're done with the top seven, we want to give Aaron a little bit of a platform to talk about an exciting project that he's working on that he and I have talked about in the past. So don't let me forget, Aaron. I'm sure you won't.
All right, I'll do my best.
All right, let's go to the seven best digital Bible study tools. And, of course, these will all be on the show notes page. We will start with number seven. And number seven has a little bit of history behind it because it's always tough to determine of all the things that you have to of all the things that you want to consider in a list like this. We probably had 10, 15, 20 things that we could have thrown on this list. Which one made the cut, so to speak? And our number seven is BibleGateway.com.
BibleGateway.com. That was a bit of a debate between the two of us, but mm-hmm. we finally settled on this. This is probably where we started with digital Bible tools. This is one of the first that we pointed to. On Wells.net, we used it some. It's integrated with our final web solution, and it's kind of a go-to pick. Like if I have my kids in the computer lab searching for Bible topics or whatever, just a really straightforward site with a simple search box. You can search by verse lookup or by topic. And now they have audio on the site as well. And so just a real all-around kind of web-based tool mm-hmm. for Bible study.
Yeah, if we had done this list maybe 5 or 6 years ago, this would have been the clear-cut winner because it was really the only ones around. In online Bibles, and I'm sure, and Aaron, maybe you can chime in here too, that a lot of church secretaries or pastors probably went to this site to grab their cut and paste text for their bulletins.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot actually. When folks were a little up in the air about what they were going to do in terms of getting their bulletins ready, that was right about the time that Bible Gateway was getting big. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were complaining that it cost so much to buy these different packages that were out there, and they're saying, all I'm doing is cutting and pasting. I don't need to pay X number of hundreds of dollars to,
right.
to get this into a bulletin, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
sure enough, Bible Gateway was there to take it up. And I got to give kudos to Bible Gateway. Like you said, they were one of the only players some years ago,
right.
And they really kept up with the times in terms of updating their site regularly and adding new features and making it all that much better to use.
Yep. They do have commentaries there and the like and many, many translations in different languages and so on and so forth. One of the coolest features, I think, of Bible Gateway is their audio Bibles. There's a dramatized reading there for the NIV, the NIV 84, which is tremendous. Debbie and I listened to that throughout all of last year. We actually let the dramatized reader, I forget his name, in fact, it was a pick of ours not too long ago, read the Old Testament readings, especially those that had a lot of the Old Testament names. Very interesting to listen to an English accent read through some of those names, and better him than me. So it was fun, and I think a good product. So that's number 7, BibleGateway.com, and I think most of our listeners know about Bible Gateway. Number 6, Sally, you want to reveal number 6?
Number 6 is the People's Bible, which is a product of our very own Northwestern Publishing House, and which can be obtained in electronic format now. Mm-hmm. They have it available for both Kindle and Nook. So if you have those devices or if you have the app for those devices, you can read the People's Bible electronically. I believe it's also available in Logos format. Mm-hmm. And so
indeed it is.
A great in-depth Bible study if you want to look at a book-by-book study or if you want to look up specific passages and read commentary that relates to those.
Mm-hmm. New Testament only right now, but I know they're planning on the Old Testament.
Yep.
Aaron, you have experience with that on the Logos side. How does that work? Does that act as just another commentary, and does it kind of sync up as you're going through and link to Bible passages in the text itself?
Yeah, absolutely. And one reason that I would not have had any experience with the Kindle and Nook app is because I have the free Logos app for iOS, and I have the full license to the entire People's Bible series. So,
cool.
Yeah, when I want to read the People's Bible, I call up my Logos
yep.
app.
And that has the Old Testament, right?
Yep. And again, like you said, all the verses are linked up, and mm-hmm. You can look at that, and if you have the desktop app, it includes the power of being able to reverse search through mm-hmm. Passages. So if you're doing a Bible class or Sunday school
right.
or a sermon, you're doing a certain text, you reverse search your verses that you're preaching on or teaching about mm-hmm. through the Logos search engine. And with the People's Bible, you get a ton of cross-references, great information.
Right. Debbie and I are reading through Romans right now, so we decided to pick an easy book. all right, number 5, the Glow Bible. Sal, you have a little note in the show notes here, or the our show mind map. The best Bible I don't use.
Yeah, sad to say, but this is the one that got all the press, especially last year, top of the list as far as online books that you can make use of. There's an iPad app that's just stunning. Mm-hmm. It has built into it not just the Bible text, but atlas views, so map views and real pictures to go along with those maps, timelines associated with Bible events, tons and tons of media, so you can watch video and see images and things that make the Bible places a lot more real.
Right.
And then these topical clouds almost, where you can drill down into different words and see related topics around those words and things. So just really an immersive experience and very well done across the different platforms. So there's PC-based software, but there's also mobile software. You can get it for your iPad or iPhone.
Right.
And if you take notes in it, you know, your notes are synced across the different platforms and things like that.
Yeah.
So
very rich, rich experience. They just done a tremendous job. We talked with one of the founders of Globe Bible maybe last year, 2 years ago, something like that. And
sure.
Nelson
Saba.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I have high hopes for this. And I think maybe the issue is just the pastor's schedule as far as implementing or using some of these tools in, let's say, a richer Bible study experience, because it does take time to find some of these resources and pick how you're going to enrich that Bible class experience. And I know that you know, pastors only have so many hours in the week to obviously write a sermon, but then also do Bible study prep. And some of these things are nice to have, but they really would add, I think, a lot to the Bible study experience.
Yeah, I got to say, I'd second that. I think that the Globe Bible is a very rich experience. It's a beautiful program. I've played around with it, but haven't used it as extensively as I'd hoped, simply because you know, you never know what you're going to get. You
right.
Kind of browse around. It's a little like using the web to find stuff. You know, it's fun. There's tons of stuff there.
Right.
But you never know what kind of thing you're going to get when you go in and when you're on a tight schedule.
Yep.
Now that can be a negative.
You almost need an index or some kind of – it would be great if the resources there were tied to something like Logos, where you'd be on a Bible verse and then you could immediately see, you know, all of the appropriate or all of the available media, you know, that could be attached to that. Now, the Globe Bible folks will say, well, you can do that right in Globe, but it's another
right.
tool. It's not integrated with anything that you use on a day-to-day basis. You have to go there. So,
I think that all the other, you know, Bible software packages are attempting to become more like Globe Bible. They're just, you know, they started as something else.
They didn't start there. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you're right. Number four, Sally. What's number four?
This might be number one for me. I don't know. But it ended up number four on our list, and it's the Wells Online app.
Mobile app, right.
I just think personally this is made a huge difference in having not just the text but the audio available every day when I sit down to do my daily devotion time or Bible reading time. We publish Monday through Friday a devotion and 7 days a week the Through My Bible in 3 Years series with an audio version of each. And for us, you know, it's our morning family time. We sit down around the iPad, believe it or not, and listen to the daily devotion, and it's been a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's available on Android and iOS, so iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, whatever, and also all Android devices, other than Android tablets, which is still a work in progress. The content in the app is no different than you could get via RSS feeds and iTunes. But there's just something about having it all together in an app and opening, you know, clicking on the Wells logo and picking the devotion or the Through the Bible in 3 Year reading, or you can see the call list on iOS apps, those kinds of things, the Together newsletters there as well. So it's been a real rewarding experience. We have at least 1,000 or so downloads of this. I think probably double that now. I haven't checked recently. And we are in the works of trying to update the Android side to make it look more like the iOS side and then add some different things, church locator, church and school locator, and also the yearbook data. So you could look up anything that you could find in the yearbook. So pastors, teachers, staff ministers, that kind of stuff. So we have some ambitious plans that we're working on. But I would agree, this is for some people, this is, and we've had a lot of feedback that, you know, people take this out running or, you know, working out to the gym or like you, Sally, you know, playing this first thing in the morning. I play it in the morning when I eat breakfast. So good stuff.
Yeah. Next on our list is Bible Works. And we actually heard from listener Robert Jordan. And he said it's his most powerful Bible study tool. It has access to many language tools and can add things. You can add things of your own. So you can add notes and things within Bible Works. Mm-hmm. This is probably notching it up a step from just reading your Bible, but actually using it as a research tool and a note-taking tool and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear an interview from Pastor Stephen Daly. Hear a lot more about Bible Works here. So I don't have a lot of experience with Bible Works. It is a Logos competitor. In fact, we did a whole show last year, maybe 2 years ago, mm-hmm. that compared Bible Works, Logos, and Accordance.
Yep.
And they all have pluses and minuses. Aaron, you're a Logos user, but I'm sure that Bible Works has very similar features, and they're all after that same market, you know, that Bible study leader, that pastor who wants to do more in-depth Bible study.
So we probably should get to number two on our list since we've tipped our hat a little bit. Mm-hmm. Number two on the list is the Logos Bible software.
Yep.
And a companion website, biblia.com, is listed here. Mm-hmm. With Logos as well.
Yeah, Biblia is kind of the Bible gateway of Logos, maybe is the way I would describe it. You can go to Biblia and you can get the online, you know, text, you know, of Scripture, and it's tied with Logos. And we should probably let Aaron chime in at this point because he is the Logos guy. But I've used Logos before, and I think there have been some kind of a good news, bad news with some of the updates recently. When they went to the latest version, they kind of webized everything, and there's the good and the bad with that. But I think in general they're moving in a good direction.
Yeah, they're definitely adding power. You know, the capability of the software is as fine as it has ever been. The potential of it is even greater. You know, one thing that Logos has always struggled with is they want to be able to do so much with their software and reach so many people. And you'll hear Pastor Daly say this in his interview. Sometimes they turn off the professional user because they're trying to do so much. It slows down the work that is the kind of work that's focused on exegesis of the original languages.
Right.
You know, so if you're that user that's looking for the original language work, you will find all the power of the other packages in Logos. And yet, at the same time, you might be a little aggravated because it's not as focused and not always as fast, mm-hmm. even though they're doing things to update that as well. But especially with this new update, we can get into the technology behind it, but they chose a very unique approach in creating this new package, and it has some overhead to it.
Right. Right.
So the advantage with Logos is that you invest in a digital library of all the different commentaries that you might want to make use of in your Bible study, and then you can take it with you anywhere because they now have the ability to sync your digital library with your mobile device, like your iOS device. Lots and lots of titles out there. And we just got an email coming in right at the wire for this podcast from Pastor Tom Wilsman, who's at St. John in Waterloo, Wisconsin, and he said this past Friday, January 27th, Logos rolled out a major update for their apps for iPad and iPhone. And he says you can now highlight and add notes to your documents on the iPad, as well as having split screen with two different documents, which you may sync or choose to not sync as you prefer. He says Sunday night and Monday morning, he was trying it out at a Bible study led by Professor Deutschlander in Watertown, Wisconsin, and he found it to be very intuitive and easy to use. Mm-hmm. So making leaps and bounds progress, it sounds like, on the mobile device at least.
And Logos has been working up to that for a while. that's why, you know, when people complain about different things, they say, just be patient. You know, there's a reason why this works that way and this works the other way. And, you know, we've got these things in mind. And I was very happy to see that release. The idea of not being able to access my notes when I'm on the Lugus app, you know, may not sound like that big a deal to some people, but it's huge to me.
That's one of the reasons like that you've got you're in a Bible study. You want to not just learn, but you want to remember that and kind of work with the text, you know, by taking notes. So, okay. Sally, is it about time for number one?
Time for number one, the much anticipated. The one thing we haven't mentioned yet, and the reason it's number one is because we got a huge amount of feedback, and that's YouVersion.
Yep.
YouVersion.com and YouVersion mobile app. And I guess it's plain to see that mobile apps rule at this point. This is the go-to number one favorite mobile app, and so we got just overwhelming response. We heard from Mike Plucker, Troy Schultz, Emil Burgess, Jeffrey Cragen, and many others who mentioned YouVersion as their go-to mobile app. Mike even said that he and his wife are both using the YouVersion on an Android platform and on their Nook tablets. So, and just tons and tons of features.
Yeah, YouVersion started out like Bible Gateway, web only, and came out of, I believe it's LifeChurch.tv as one of their products. And I don't know whether it was started as an internal tool or what the exact history is, but obviously it's grown past that, and it's free. I think you can purchase different translations if you want to actually download them to your mobile devices. But every so often they make those available for free. So if you watch their site and subscribe to their, I think their blog, you will get a window where you can download, let's say, the NIV translation to your phone for free. So I think they've done a nice job with the interface. It seems to be easy to use, and they're adding features, so it's not standing still. The product has evolved, and just from the number of people who are using it in our listenership is evidence that it's pretty much the standard right now for an online Bible.
More than fair to say, yeah.
Yep. So that is our first stab at the seven best digital Bible study tools. And it was kind of fun getting all the feedback from our listeners, and hopefully this is valuable. I don't think there's any real surprises here. So most of these are pretty mainstream, so to speak. But it's just good to compare some of them. They serve different purposes, but I'm going to enjoy this series, Sally.
Yeah, perhaps our listeners found something new in what we shared today. I hope so.
Yep. Before we leave the digital Bible study arena, I wanted to give Aaron a little chance to talk about a project that he is working on called Pearl Vault. What's Pearl Vault, Aaron?
Yeah, Pearl Vault is really the culmination of a couple of decades of doing digital Bible study myself. I started in high school. I got Parsons Technologies Quick Verse, so
right.
You will remember that, I'm sure.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah. The DOS program, no graphical interface. And I used that as much as I could in college while learning Greek and Hebrew, and eventually I had so many guys asking me, what should we buy for Bible software? I did a ton of research myself, and I ended up with Lugus. But as I have gone to these different packages, tried them out, used the web, even as Lugus has done these major updates over the years, like we were just talking about, Lugus 4, to me the scariest part of it was I have years' worth of notes. And I don't want to lose any of them. Some people might think, well, what's the big deal with notes? I mean, the important thing is the resources. And I say, no, just the opposite. You know, what you find is the important thing. What what strikes you, the even with the Bible itself, the passages through which the Spirit makes something clear to you, those are the ones you want to remember and build on in the future. So the notes being lost, it scared me constantly. And when I started teaching Lugus at WLS, I got the same thing from the students there. They didn't want to lose their notes. They'd say, well, Pastor Fry, where should I take my notes? And I said, well, wherever you want. And they said, well, if I take it in Word, it loses all the power of the software. And if I take it in Lugus, how do I know I'll be able to use it one day? And, we went through this over and over and over again. And I always assumed that something like Pearl Vault would evolve and never did, which is the idea that you have a a single place where you can take your Bible study notes, and Pearl Vault will take responsibility for finding ways to synchronize with stuff that you already have. And we've been working on various technologies, trying to put this together for a year now, and you know, it's obvious it boils down to that you know, someone has to be there in the industry, working with all these companies and websites, making sure that they can provide a synchronization with, you know, when I say Pearl Vault can provide a synchronization with those environments. Because while the folks out there who are already providing Bible study environments, they appreciate the problem, it's not their responsibility. Right. They're already busy enough, you know, with all the stuff that they're doing. So,
right. So you're trying to make your notes portable, so yeah, that if you're no matter what you're using, Logos, Bible Works, Cordance, YouVersion to take notes, Pearl Vault is kind of working behind the scenes to capture those, centralize the storage, and make them available regardless of what happens to the tool that you happen to be using.
Yeah, and then they need an opportunity of only growing over the years. I mean, when I first resigned from MLS, I started looking for regular work and waiting for call lists and all that kind of stuff, and I was doing fill-in preaching and Bible classes, and one thing I noticed right away, just due to the timing of the resignation, is this explosion in smartphones. I'm in class, and I'm teaching, and I see people who plainly aren't big tech heads. You know, they got a phone, you know, and they know the phone can do stuff. And they're setting it down, and they're recording what I'm saying, or they're, you know, they're typing stuff in with their thumbs. And I'm like, you know, these devices, they're just always with us, and they're always connected. I mean, this is the answer to the, you know, the margin disappearing on our when right. We went from paper Bibles to digital Bibles.
Right.
The power increased, but that basic need of being able to take your thoughts and record them so you can build on them later, it kind of disappeared. So, okay, you know, these devices, they can do it for us if we can develop that kind of server technology to make it happen.
So how can we learn more about your progress with this project?
Well, right now the best thing to do is to hook up on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Pearl Vault. And that's where I'm doing my latest updates. I went quiet for a while because I had a wave of investors come in, all of which eventually backed out. So I'm back to plan A, which was crowdsourcing it.
Okay.
I just got approved this morning to do Pearl Vault through Kickstarter.com.
Oh, awesome.
So, okay. Yeah. So if you plug in at the Facebook site, facebook.com/Pearl Vault, you will soon hear about the links that you can go to and share from Kickstarter.com so that we can raise the money to develop the software. I do have a company lined up. They've seen all the, you know, all the features that that we want built into the software, and they're experts in doing server stuff, you know, internet server stuff. So they know what to do. They've got a great timeline laid out, but somebody's got to pay them.
Okay. So that sounds like a great project, and we certainly hope that and pray that that is successful. So if you want to learn more, go to the Facebook page and get involved.
Stay in touch on
the ground floor.
Keep us up today.
Right.
Yeah.
Will do.
Right. Okay. Let's move on. We we referenced the interview with Pastor Stephen Daly. He joined us to talk about Bible Works, something that he uses. We've had Stephen on the show before. He is probably more affectionately known as a Linux devotee, and but he joined us on a little bit different topic, and right in line with what we're talking about. Bible Works was number 3 on our list, and let's listen to our conversation with Steve. We're very happy to have joining us once again Pastor Steve Daly from Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Martin and Sally.
How are you?
Oh, just great today.
Good. It's been a while. We communicated via email and comments and those kinds of things over the years, but we looked back in the Wells Tech archives and found our conversation with you back in August of 2008. That was episode 31. Now we're at, what are we at, 221, something like that, Sally?
Yep, got a few podcasts under our belt since then, for yep. sure.
So hopefully we sound a little more polished, but we enjoyed our conversation so much, Steve, that we're going to bring you back 4 years later. But it's a different topic. We had talked to you way back when about Linux, but we are running a series on the seven best, as you may know. Seven best this month in February is Bible study tools. And we felt that getting your insight, specifically a pastor who is into digital tools, his insight on some of the ins and outs of picking a Bible study tool and your experiences with some of them. But maybe before we jump into that dialogue, Steve, you could give us a little brief bio so our listeners can get reacquainted with you.
Sure, Martin and Sally. Just a few things about me, I guess. I served in the ministry for 12 years. I'm currently at my third call, serving our Lord and our Savior at Petro Lutheran Church and School in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. I have served previously at St. John's in Reigen, Michigan, and also at Mobridge and Glenham in South Dakota was my first call out of the seminary. I'm married 15 years, have a wonderful, beautiful wife, Heidi, and we have three great kids together. So some of my hobbies and interests, my hobbies are definitely revolving around tech and Woo-hoo. Computers.
So that's You're not alone there.
The other big hobby I have is I like long bike rides. So I got involved with, over here in Minnesota, there's some pastors that do a MS bike ride every summer, and I've done that the last two summers, and that's been a real positive experience as well.
So I can feel totally humbled because I bike ride, too. Tell me how far you go.
Well, it depends. When I'm doing training, I like to go a minimum training ride would be 18 to 22 miles. Mm. Then for the actual trip, you have to bike somewhere between usually 50 to 65 miles per day.
All at once.
Well, there's a lot of breaks in there.
Okay. Still, 50 or 60, that's about my week, I think, on a good week. So good for you, especially in Minnesota. I assume you've got you probably have some good flat terrain there you've got to work with.
Well, yeah, where I live actually is along the Mississippi Valley.
Okay.
They have quite a few hills around this area.
Well, you got to go out by Sleepy Eye. It's a lot flatter over there, right, Sally?
It is flat and sleepy, yes.
But that takes the challenge out of it. Enough of that. Let's get on to Bible study tools. As I mentioned, we were on the show talking about seven best Bible study tools. Maybe to start out with, share with the class, so to speak, what tools you use for your Bible study, Bible prep, sermon prep, those kinds of things.
That's really interesting, actually, because tool of choice has changed quite a bit in the 12 years I've been in the ministry. When I started out at seminary, I got one of the very first Lugus versions that ever came out. It was used to run on Windows 3.1. You can remember back in those days. Mm-hmm. So I started with that as my primary Bible study tool. Used that version actually for a number of years. Then for a while when I was getting into Linux pretty heavily on the desktop, and I've kind of stepped back away from that, and I'll explain why in just a little bit, I was using some of the tools that have come out recently that are free and are online, which are absolutely amazing. There's some pretty amazing tools that you can get for free online just by going to a few key websites and even dig into the original Greek and Hebrew. Not nearly as well as you can with tools like Lugus and Accordance, I think, for the Mac, and also BibleWorks. But my current tool of choice for my in-depth Bible study, when I'm focusing especially on the original languages of Greek and Hebrew, is BibleWorks. Mm-hmm. I recently, this past summer, purchased BibleWorks version 9 after it came out, and I have really fallen in love with BibleWorks. That is a fantastic tool, and you get a lot of resources that are really great price.
I think there's probably some pastors out there that are cheering right now because we've had this debate over the years on Wells Tech, Logos versus Accordance versus BibleWorks. So strike one for the BibleWorks people. Good for you. Do you use it pretty much exclusively, or are you a paper person as well? How is the balance between digital and paper Bible study?
I would say for my original language study, I've gone completely over to Bible Works to study the original languages. If I'm going to be reading commentaries, I do not have hardly any commentaries in a digital format as of yet. So most of that is still reading actual paper books, commentaries that have been written. So any commentaries that I consult are normally paper. But I take all my notes digitally now that I have Bible Works. And that's actually a huge change because before that, I was never happy with the Lugus note tool. That tool constantly crashed on me. I lost I don't know how many hours of work when I was using the notes tool for Lugus. And so I just kind of gave up on it and went to actually paper and pen, using Lugus on the computer screen and writing all my notes down on paper in order to preserve my notes and make sure that I'd actually have notes to write my sermon off of.
Mm-hmm. What do you like specifically about the way BibleWorks does notes?
They have a built-in editor in the program itself that is geared directly towards the original languages.
Okay.
And the whole focus is on original language study with the note-taking. And so they have a lot of specialized tools. For example, it's just a click of a button, and you can go left to right or right to left, depending if you're studying the Greek or the Hebrew. It's very easy to copy in verses, and the editor itself is just very quick and responsive. One of the issues I had when I upgraded to the latest version of Lugus 4, is the note-taking software, although it's very powerful and it has a lot of features and it seems to connect rather well with the actual package, I found that I could frequently type faster than the note program could actually keep up.
Not a good quality.
And that annoys me to no end when a program can't keep up with my typing speed.
Right, right. Computer should be faster than your fingers.
BibleWorks has no problem with that. In fact, I use BibleWorks on my newer laptop that I have at the church office that we're speaking through right now. And then I also have BibleWorks installed on a rather crusty old Windows XP computer. And it works just as quickly on that, which is very amazing to me.
So are you running this on Linux? Last time we talked to you, you were running Linux. Is this running on Linux?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, no. I'm running Windows as my primary desktop. I still have a Linux server sitting in my closet over here at church. So I still dabble with the Linux. However, I'm running Windows for the desktop just because BibleWorks does not really run very well on Linux or the Macintosh for that matter.
Okay.
However, just this month, they came out with a really exciting announcement. They're going to officially support Crossover Office for BibleWorks, which means that they're going to work at the BibleWorks company to make sure that their product runs on Crossover Office, which is a tool that you can use to run Windows programs on Linux or on Macintosh. And I'm very excited about that announcement. That's going to be, when that happens, when they get that worked out, I'll probably go to Linux completely then.
Mm-hmm. So, Steve, you are enjoying the notes feature, and it sounds like that is really central, one of the reasons that you would pick a digital Bible study tool like Lugus. What are some of, BibleWorks. What are some of the other key criteria that go into picking one over another? Are there other things that it must have, or it's not even under consideration?
Well, I really think especially in our denomination, one of the things that's so very important to us as pastors is being able to dig into the original languages.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we're going to use something to prepare for sermons and Bible study, those original language features have to be primary. One of the primary things that you look for, which would include not only being able to view the original text, but be able to dig into the original text, do searches on the original text very quickly and easily, being able to seek out resources like dictionaries and grammars. And that's one thing that all the major packages, Lugus, Accordance, and BibleWorks, Have a large selection. I think for as far as bang for your buck, you probably get a whole lot more out of Bible Works than you do out of the other packages, as far as from what I've seen with pricing and how they package things together.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you obviously want to avoid your system crashing and losing your work. Are there any other drawbacks to going digital that you've encountered?
That would probably be the biggest concern that I've always had is how do you, once you've done the work and the study, how do you make sure that you can preserve that and back that up? And so that's always been a very important feature, and that's a feature that I know all the packages have gone a long ways in. Lugus, for example, will back up all of your notes to the cloud even. So when you take a note, it's not just saved on your local computer where you can back it up, but you can also save it to the cloud, and it gets saved automatically to the cloud, actually. And with BibleWorks, they put all of the notes into one directory, and what I do is I sync that directory with Dropbox, and so I have it backed up automatically to the cloud, and then it also comes on automatically at my home computer as well, in my Dropbox folder. So that's really kind of a nice feature, is being able to preserve those notes digitally. I guess the other concern is just ease of use. One of the things that I really appreciate about BibleWorks is it seems to me, in the training that we receive at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, that BibleWorks does a really good job of helping the student dig into the original languages and focus on the original languages. Lugus has a lot of tools to do that as well, but it seems to try to be all things to all people. It seems to be an incredible resource as far as if you want all of your books to be digital. So you want a completely digital library that you can carry around on your laptop or that you can access on the internet or through your mobile device even now with some of the new mobile apps that they're coming out for Lugus. And that, I think, is another a difference between the packages that you have to consider too when you're going into this. Are you looking to have everything digital? Are you willing to still hold on to some of your paper books and use those in conjunction with your Bible software? And that's just a preference that you have to decide what's going to be most important for you.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned mobile, Steve. Do you use other tools on handheld devices? I assume you have a smartphone or a tablet of some sort. What do you use there?
Interestingly enough, I am too cheap for a smartphone, but I actually just got into the mobile market this Christmas, got a Kindle Fire.
Okay.
So I've been trying out some of the mobile apps on the Kindle Fire, and Lugus actually has a rather robust app that will connect you with your Lugus account, which means you have access to most, if not all, of your resources on your mobile device. So I think that is holding a lot of promise, too. I think that's something for pastors to consider. If you do have a smartphone and you find that you're using that smartphone throughout your ministry and you always, it's a necessary tool for you to get through the day, then Lugus would be another notch up, you might say, as far as your consideration. Because I can't take anything in BibleWorks and put it on the mobile device. Right. I could probably take my notes with me if I wanted to, because I could transfer those into a format where I could have it on my Kindle Fire, for example. But there is no mobile app for BibleWorks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe taking a step away from your Bible study from a pastor's perspective to look at Bible study from your member's perspective. People that you're teaching in Bible class or catechism settings, maybe your members with their smartphones or mobile devices, whatever they may be. Do you have recommendations or experience with using digital tools for that audience?
Well, I think one of the ones that most of my members that are using smartphones in Bible study are using is the Bible app from YouVersion. That's probably by far the most popular, and probably right now I would say it's one of the leading mobile apps to use on your smartphone. Personally, I just had some recent issues with YouVersion, which unfortunately kind of soured my opinion on YouVersion and how effective it could be as a tool. I was actually hoping to use YouVersion as a tool in which I could share my own notes and commentary with members of the congregation. However, I found out it's very easy to have your public notes that maybe you leave up on a particular Bible verse to be flagged as inappropriate and then be taken down. So that was an interesting experience I went through just this past Christmas, and it still hasn't been resolved, as a matter of fact.
What was the issue, Steve? What was the controversial material that you posted that had to take down?
Well, I was posting a some commentary focused on infant baptism on Psalm 51, verse 5. And wrote up a little commentary and a little note about infant baptism and how that passage really supports the importance of infant baptism. And the note was up there for a while, and then any user in the YouVersion community is allowed to flag any note that they want as inappropriate. And then that note's immediately taken down off of the public viewing. And then what's supposed to happen is your note's supposed to be, but according to the website anyway, your note is supposed to be reviewed within 1 to 2 weeks and then put back up if it's not considered inappropriate. And my note still hasn't been put up, and it's been well over four weeks, and I've even talked with tech support about it, and they said that I'd see it up within a week. Well, that really hasn't happened either. And it's kind of a little tricky, because if you use the web interface for YouVersion, and you're logged in all the time, as I typically am with a lot of my cloud apps that I use, you can't actually tell that your note's been flagged, because you can click on the link to your note and it's going to open up right away because you're logged in, and they're not going to block you from seeing any of the notes that you have actually written. So the only reason I actually found out is because when I got my Kindle Fire, I had the YouVersion app on there, and on the mobile app, it actually does put a little red triangle with an exclamation mark, and then you kind of click on that, and so they do flag it so that you can see it on the mobile app, and it's a lot easier to notice that one of your notes has been flagged. So,
okay.
Like I mentioned, I was hoping that I could have some notes on there that are public, and if a member had a question about a particular Bible passage, I could make a note, and then they could look at it on their smartphone even, and then read my note, and then they'd have some commentary about that particular verse of Scripture.
Well, Steve, keep fighting the good fight on that front. I think YouVersion is worth making better. I haven't found anything better to use, and I've done a lot of personal, private, and public notes, and I find that to be a great thing. And it seems like they continue to try and improve the product, too. Make it stable on mobile platforms, make it more usable on the web, and it could be a good sharing tool. So hopefully that gets straightened out. I'm not aware of anything that approaches it at this point. Are you?
There's another app that I kind of am dabbling with a little bit, and that's Olive Tree.
Right.
Have you looked at it at all, Martin?
Yep. We reviewed that, at least we reviewed the mobile app. I don't know whether it was me or Sally who did it. But, Olive, what is it? Olive, it's not olivetree.com, though, is it? It's, you know what the
URL is? No, I'm not sure what the actual website address is, because I've only used the mobile app as well. The mobile app shows some promise. It does allow you to.
It is olivetree.com, yeah.
And it does have a large selection of Bibles. However, quite a few of them you have to pay a little extra for if you want them on your device. So that would be the downfall, whereas YouVersion, basically every version of the Bible that you probably want to read is available for free. With Olive Tree, they do make you pay for some of the better translations, English translations of the Bible.
Right, right. Worth a look. Yep. They are coming on. I think they are making some dramatic improvements, even since we probably reviewed it a while back. So, Steve, thank you very much for your time. I think this is very insightful, and I know I appreciate hearing from somebody who's, you know, living in these tools like it seems you do, and I'm sure our listeners who are in the same boat appreciate that as well. Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Oh, you bet, Martin and Sally. And I did send on the Google Plus page a link to some Digo list I made up of all of these different free tools that you can actually find on the internet. Cool. I don't know if you can maybe include that in the show notes, Ellie.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Steve, thank you. Take care, and blessings on your work.
Oh, thank you so much, Martin and Sally. This was a lot of fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our thanks to Steve for joining us once again on the show to share his thoughts on Bible Works. Very consistent with some of the conversation we had about Logos and the top seven list we had.
Absolutely. And we appreciate that you put together a Digo list for us, Steve.
Yeah, that's great.
We'll definitely have that link in the show notes. It's got some more online Bible study tools that we didn't mention in our top seven list. So mm-hmm. if you want to check that out, be sure to do that.
Okay.
Before we leave top seven, Martin,
yes.
I think we maybe want to make an announcement about what our March best topic will be.
Feel free.
Put our heads together on that one, and we came up with teacher resource sites. So we're looking for the seven best teacher resource sites to feature on our first show in March.
Okay. So if you are an educator, even if you're not an educator and you've got a favorite teacher resource site, share that with us. It can be on any topic, but it does have to be available, obviously, on the web. And obviously useful for teachers who are in any subject, doesn't matter, but something that you found to be helpful, maybe that you bookmark, go back to time and time again, and would feel that would be on our seven best list. So that'll be the first Wednesday in March where we do that seven best. So excited about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to picks of the week. And as is our custom, we let the new guy go first, and in this case, that's Aaron. Aaron, you've got a pick for us this week.
Yeah, I've been, like I said, doing this digital Bible study thing for a while and had a lot of great contact with a lot of different pastors. I've done seminars teaching how to use Logos in different parts of the states to Wells pastors, and I've learned some neat things. One thing I never heard about pastors using, and maybe I'm just in the wrong places at the wrong time, but is an incredibly powerful tool. And I suspect publicity is the problem, that they don't advertise, they don't seem to make any money off of what they're doing, but incredibly powerful tool for whether you're doing English study or original language study, and that is greattreasures.org. I actually ran across this when I started doing my Pearl Vault research and started digging really, really deep into the stuff that before I was just kind of familiar with, doing sermons and doing these workshops on Logos. But digging a little deeper, I found this site, greattreasures.org, that has incredible resources. Not fancy. You look at it, there are no graphics.
It's a little
whatsoever.
Spartan, yes, I'm seeing
yeah,
that.
Very Spartan, yeah. But there's great power in what they make available to you. It's given to you in three different interfaces: beginner, intermediate, and then the advanced interface. And one of the things that's great about it is, and you can tell this is kind of a passion of mine, is their note taking capabilities.
Uh-huh.
They allow two different sets of notes: one for recording your translations of different verses, and then the other one is kind of a general note taking area. And the ability to attach to verses, words, and even to hyperlink your stuff, really awesome. Of course, it also demonstrates why I'm doing Pearl Vault, because it's still stuck in that site. But
right.
But still, I think that they have done it very, very well and without distraction. So if you want to do that that kind of work, you do have to register. Otherwise, it's for free. I think you can look around without registering, but the real power of it is being able to personalize it and keep your stuff there. So,
very cool. Yeah, very, very utilitarian, I guess it would be the would be the appropriate word. And that's okay. Gets out of your way. You get you get done what you need to get done. And I had never heard of this before. This is an awesome resource.
Yeah, like I said, you don't hear about it much. People don't talk about it much, but I think they should probably talk about it more if what you want to do is just plain study a text.
Very fast, speedy, comes up right away, so that's really a benefit. Okay, Sally, you have a hardware pick, don't you?
I do. I have a new keyboard for my iPad. It's the Logitech tablet keyboard for iPad, and it's a really nifty tool. It comes in its own case, so the keyboard slides out, and the case then transforms into a stand for your iPad, and it'll hold it either in portrait or landscape position, and it actually kind of slides out so you can have a couple of different angles of view of your iPad if you're using the case. But the cool tool is the keyboard itself. It's a Bluetooth enabled keyboard, so you switch it on and it connects with your iPad, and you're able to type using a traditional keyboard. It has a great feel to it. I really enjoy typing on it, and it gives you back a lot of those function keys and things that you're more used to in a traditional keyboard, so you can do copy and paste with Control C and Control V, that kind of thing. It has arrow keys, so you can highlight things with arrows and that kind of thing. And it has opened up my iPad for a lot more creative use, not just consumption use. And I highly recommend it. I read an article recently called "Is the Keyboard Dead?" And it was from the Elementary School Tech blog. And sadly, he thinks that we're dinosaurs if we need a keyboard, that we should be all touchscreen and trackpads and that kind of thing. We don't need keyboards and mouse any longer. But I just don't feel that way. I'm not ready to give up my keyboard. I don't have voice recognition for everything I want to do on it, and I just can type a lot faster when I have a traditional keyboard. If I have just a little bit to do, then typing on the screen's not bad. But if I really want to do some serious work on my iPad, then this has opened up that world for me.
Interesting. So this is not a case. This is a standalone keyboard, right?
It comes in a case that unfolds to be the stand.
But it's not a case for the iPad.
It isn't a case for the iPad. Okay, no, the keyboard itself is in a case that transforms. So, cool. No, it doesn't connect to the iPad in any way.
It's all Bluetooth.
It just is a keyboard that's wireless that allows you to type on your iPad.
So the reason I ask is then you're not limited to iPad 2. It'll work with a first-gen iPad?
That's a great question. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. It's Bluetooth enabled. Just says iPad on it, so I would guess that it would.
Awesome. This looks very cool. And looks like the list price is like $60. Maybe you can find it cheaper elsewhere. So.
Yeah, I didn't do any research on that, but I'll look around a little and see what kind of pricing and put a link in the show notes.
Very cool. Sal, you don't have too many hardware picks, but the ones you pick are awesome.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Thanks, Martin.
Mine is a software pick. It's actually a plugin for Chrome, and I think only Chrome, so very limited audience, at least to our Chrome users out there, which is probably, I don't know, we could probably do a show of hands, but I would think a lot of people in our audience probably do Chrome, at least to some degree. And this is a product that came out of the Evernote company, which was a pick of mine, I don't know whether it was last week or a couple weeks ago. That's the tool that allows you to take notes and to put those in the cloud and sync them up, not just notes, but images and PDFs and all that other stuff, documents. This is called Evernote Clearly. This is a fairly recent product that they launched. It's a little plugin. And it appears as a little button in the upper right on your Chrome browser. But when you click it, and if you're on a page, usually a blog page, WordPress blog or whatever, it'll work with almost anything. It will look at the page and determine what the main article is and the images of that article and strip out everything else. So menus are gone, ads are gone in particular. Anything that is not germane to the article that you're reading, it pulls all of that out and just gives you a nice, clean reading experience. Where this is really helpful is if you want to do any printing. So if you wanted to print an article, for instance, and share with a Bible study class or friend or just you save it as a PDF, something for future reference, you can get rid of all the other cruft that's around it. And just get a kind of a neat reading experience just by clicking this button. And then when you click it again, it goes back, so you haven't lost anything. You can save it for later. It really is nice to save it for later and then view it on a mobile device, because then you don't have to do all that scrolling around. You're just seeing the text and the images. Works nicely with Evernote. You can save it right to Evernote, which is where the mobile piece comes in. just a kind of a distraction-free reading experience, especially for long text. It it really will do a nice job with that, and it's totally free.
I think we're moving more and more to that graphic environment and taking away all the distractions and just being able to focus on the great imagery and the text that you want. It makes things a lot simpler, and we like that. that's definitely the trend these days.
It's how the author intended it to be read, really. He didn't want the flashing, you know, the rotating, you know, whatever, the weight loss things, et cetera. You know, it's what you want. So,
of course, we'll see where all this ends up, because the author also wants to be paid as
exactly.
the website people.
Exactly. Let's move on to community feedback, Sally.
Sure. We heard from a lot of our listeners this week, starting with Sarah Meyer, who is from Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School, and she's just found the Wells Tech podcast. She said, "I'm excited to follow your work each week." And then she had a question for us, Martin. She says, "Does Wells Tech ever conduct webinars for teachers?" Mm-hmm. "I'm a member of a number of professional groups, and webinars have become popular with these groups. I've found them really helpful in my own teaching." And I thought that was an interesting question. I guess in a way we conduct mini webinars each Wednesday morning when we publish a new podcast.
Right. But I think she's talking about something very focused and you know, probably a screen sharing kind of experience. And you know, there's probably some merit in that. Yeah. And you know, we look for opportunities to do that. We've done something like that with Shepherd staff training, and we could probably we've done that with Final Web. Maybe we have. Yes. And so there are probably opportunities to talk about different things that would do that. So we will take that under advisement.
If any of our listeners have topics,
or would like to do them, we don't have to do them all. So there's plenty of experts out there. So
absolutely,
maybe Aaron would do a Logos webinar.
That'd be awesome.
It wouldn't be the first time.
That's right. That's right. So.
Next up, we heard from a longtime listener. That's Ryan Rosenthal from Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Ryan claims to have listened to all of our podcasts, starting with podcast number 10. And he wrote me and said that if they average 45 minutes, that's over 150 hours of podcast listening. Lucky guy that he
is. Tired. Yes.
Anyway, he must listen pretty closely because he sent us his congratulations on making it to 4 years. And he said, back before episode 200, I believe Martin said that Sally could do the intros for the next 200 shows, and I've yet to hear her do one. What's up with that? So my answer to that is, Ryan, you don't have to listen quite so closely. Thank you very much.
I think that was sarcasm at the time.
Yeah. And then the main topic that we wanted to get to, and Ryan shares some great insight here, is in response to our discussion about TeamViewer. He says he does agree that the lag time would make it difficult to use a tablet with a projector, but he wants to mention that it's very useful in other settings. He's installed it on his home computer, school desktop, and school laptop, and this allows him to access any of his machines from any of the other machines. This is very useful when he needs to get a file or email from home while he's at school. He's used it to access his classroom machine while supervising in the lab, and he even used it to access the classroom computer to assist a substitute teacher when he was away from school. I love that. That's just too awesome. Mm-hmm. It also has a great feature that detects when his classroom desktop is set up with multiple monitors, and the projector screen is considered a second monitor. So this allows him to show one thing on his monitor and another thing on the projector screen. Using TeamViewer, he can use the laptop to see what's on the projector side of things without having to turn the projector on. Mm. So that's useful for setting up a lesson or after school when he wants to save on his bulb life and just get ready with the projector for the next day. Okay. So great, great ideas there.
Yep.
He says that there's some limitations with their VPN software, which allows them to get onto their network. It's not playing well with Windows 7, but TeamViewer is. So that's become their alternate in that regard. And then he also wanted to share a Dropbox success story. He's used it to share files, Dropbox being a cloud-based file storage solution, used it for file sharing between his computers and also with a fellow teacher. And he also wanted to install software on a netbook, but the netbook didn't have a CD player. So we copied the entire CD to Dropbox and then installed from the Dropbox CD copy. So that was a way for him to get software onto a netbook.
Yeah,
so.
And that's more and more.
I love Dropbox.
Yeah. That's more and more important with these Ultrabooks coming out without CD drives or DVD drives. And by
then,
the way,
one last comment from Ryan. He wrote in later to say, I had mentioned how small TeamViewer is because I have a really large screen, so when I view it on TeamViewer, everything's tiny. But he says there are settings in TeamViewer to allow you to adjust that, and you can have it adjusted without messing up the settings on your regular monitor. Mm-hmm. So I just need to dig a little deeper, I think.
Yeah, TeamViewer is a cool tool. We use it here in the Senate office building and free for the most part, unless you want to go, unless you're a commercial enterprise.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to see Ryan this evening. I'm doing an internet safety presentation up in Faith in Fond du Lac to the believers up there, so I'm excited about that.
Great. Greet him for us.
I will.
All right. Next up, we heard from David Schumann, who's at Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin, and he shared his current favorite PDF merging tool. It's something called PDFTK Builder, and we'll have a link in the show notes to that. He says he can pull in all different kinds of documents and merge them into one, and this is especially useful as he's building a PDF version of their church newsletter. So if you don't have a solution, you may want to check that out.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
On Twitter, Rachel Pearson tweeted and asked if the PowerSchool application that's used in various Wells schools works with the iPad app for PowerSchool. And our good friend Gail Potratz was right on top of that tweet and responded right away with a link to the configuration for that. So it does work with the Wells PowerSchool software.
Mm-hmm.
So love that Wells Tech community.
Yep.
A few links worth mentioning from the DIGO Wells Tech group, which is always full of great ideas. One was a link to 34 free productivity tools that will help you eliminate expensive software. And, you know, in keeping with our 7 best list, I love 34, a list of 34. And I did find some things that were new to me, TubeChop and CrocoDoc and Thumba, just some different links that you might want to check out on this 34 free productivity tools list.
KeepVid is one of my absolute favorites. I don't know if we've ever talked about that on the show, but KeepVid is just so simple to use, free. And if you do a lot of presentations, especially like some of our classroom teachers certainly would maybe take advantage of this. You don't have to rely on the internet to be up in order to play a YouTube video. You can grab the YouTube video, download it into FLV or MOV format or a whole host of other things, and then that's kind of your plan B. So I always do that with my presentations too.
And then one more to mention, new research, global surge in smartphone usage. Just like we were discussing earlier, everybody has those smartphones at their disposal these days. So more and more development in that direction because it's just growing by leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll do it for community feedback for this week, Mark.
Tell our listeners how they can get involved, Sally.
Oh, there's lots of ways. Probably the best way is to head over to our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net. There you can leave a comment on any particular show, or a general contact us form is available as well. You can email us at wellstech@wells.net, call into our voicemail at 405-4-WELLS. That's 405-367-9357. You can tweet us, find us on Facebook or on Google+, or join the Wells Tech listserv along with our DIGO group. Boy, lots of different ways.
We are connected, Sally.
We do have a lot of channels, and we hear from people on all different ones. And
we do.
That's great. That's the nature of the social world we're in.
The reason they're there, yes.
Check them all out on the Wells Tech website.
Awesome. Next week, we return to our book review, The Church of Facebook. We had Jesse Rice on, the author of that book, a month ago or so. And we're up to Chapter 5, Adaptation. So if you're reading along at home, make sure you read Chapter 5 and prep for our little chit-chat about that particular chapter of The Church of Facebook. So good reading so far. Aaron, thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you on.
It was a pleasure to be here.
And remind our listeners again where they can find out about your Project ProVault.
Yep. Go to Facebook, and facebook.com/pearlvault will give you the latest updates. We're finally communicating again after being quiet for the sake of our investors, and you'll find all the updates there.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us and your contributions to the show. Let's close the show with the music of L.A. Miller, the song Your Peace from their album Night and Day. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.